We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well.
It's good to see you.
Well, it's good to be seen. as Sean Wilson says, better to be seen than viewed. Of course,
that's a good point.
Of course, if you're being viewed and you're a Christian, it means you're in a better place. So, not...
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Today is Thursday, so we will have a word from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. He will not be in the building. However, we will end this broadcast and reset the iPad, and we will come back with a word from Pastor Dwight. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I got it all.
All right.
Would you like to pray to start us
out? I will. Father, I just want to say thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come and share, to be able to encourage, to be able to pray for those needs that individuals might have in their lives or the lives of those that they love and are concerned about. Father, we just understand that you have given us a great opportunity here to be able to share. We say thank you for that. Thank you for the sponsors. And Father, thank you for sending your son so that we can have that right relationship with you through him. May we always remember that salvation is free to us, but the cost that was paid by Jesus was a high price. And Lord, may we never forget that. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, The God Who Gives Favor.
Yes, we're going to be talking about the God who gives favor this morning. And he's one who gives us favor even when we don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be looking at that. We're actually going to be looking at the angel coming to Mary this morning. So we'll take a few moments to look at that in Luke chapter 1 if anybody wants to follow along. I want to take just a minute to hit on Christmas baskets. Christmas baskets are going out on the 16th of this month. If you are in need of a Christmas basket or if you know of somebody that's in need of a Christmas basket, this is the week to call in. You have today and tomorrow until noon to call in. We have the call-in out at the Catholic Church, and so if you're needing a Christmas basket or know of somebody that's needing a Christmas basket, they can call 225-0066 from 9 to 3 today and from 9 till noon tomorrow. If you'd like to help with the Christmas baskets, we will take your help on the morning of the 16th as we distribute them, or if you would like to help us do some setup of the Christmas baskets, we will do that on the morning of the 15th, beginning at 9 o'clock. So just want to get that out there. We want people to have a good Christmas. We want to provide them with enough food to have a good Christmas meal. And so, and also, if you'd like to give, you can give at the newspaper office, Chamber of Commerce there downtown, First National Bank on West 3rd, or you can mail it to the Church of God at 501 West 1st here, Elk City. So several ways you can give, several ways you can help. And if you need help, make sure that you get your name in. And if you live in the Elk City limits, it can be delivered to you. If you have an Elk City address, whether you live in the city limits or not, you're eligible for one, but those outside of the city limits will need to pick up their baskets. So just a little information there for everybody to know and to be aware of. Well, we're going to be talking about the God who gives favor, and I remember it was probably, it might have been last year, probably two Christmases ago. We were with the grandkids, and one of them had received a present, and it broke. And so he came crying to his mom and asked her to fix it. And she said, whichever one it was, says, well, why don't you take it to Papa and see if he can fix it? And, of course, Papa took a look at the toy and was able to fix it because it wasn't anything major. But, you know, that's what grandparents, especially papas, are for, you know. We want to fix it for kids, for grandkids. But I tell that story because we live in a broken world that needs major fixing. Sin has caused brokenness in our world ever since the time of Adam and Eve and when they sinned in the garden. And so, as you go through the Old Testament, you see that they offered sacrifices to cover the sin, but it didn't fix the sin. The blood of the sacrifices was given as an atonement to cover their sin, to make them right with God. But as far as actually fixing the sin, it didn't. And that was God's way of teaching us that the penalty of sin is death. And we have to have that penalty paid for. And God knew that only a sinless person could pay the price for the penalty of sin by dying. And that person, the only person that could do it, was his son Jesus. And so we find that he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus could only accomplish this if he came into the world and lived as we live, and then pay the price for the sin and die on the cross. He had to live the perfect life. That's the reason why Satan came and tempted him, because Satan knew that if he gave in to the temptation, he had won. Mm-hmm. But Jesus had to live the perfect life, pay no sin in his life. And so he had to pay the price of sin on the cross, and with that, we had the opportunity then to come into a right relationship with God. And then, of course, when he rose, that meant that we have the opportunity for eternal life. Well, for all of this to happen and to take place, God needed a woman who would be up to the task of giving birth to his son. This was not just any woman, but it was a woman of favor, and the person had to be a virgin as well, because she had to be sexually pure to give birth to Jesus. And so this individual had to be willing to hear what the task was, and then willing to accept the task that was laid out before her. And so with that in mind, we pick up the story of God choosing Mary in Luke chapter 1 in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And so, as we look at Mary here and we see Mary's acceptance of God's plan, we see that it teaches us some valuable lessons concerning God's favor. So, we need to understand that God's favor is with those who favor him. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean that God forgets everybody else, because he wants everybody to come into a right relationship with him. But ultimately, God's favor is with those who favor him. And when we look at that, we see that God oftentimes chooses ordinary people to accomplish the extraordinary. I mean, look back through the history of the Bible. It's full of stories of common people that God used. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's Moses. He's a murderer, and yet God chooses him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Then there's Rahab, a prostitute. Not one you'd normally think of as choosing, but she's the one who sheltered the spies of Israel as they were exploring Jericho, and was a forerunner in the line of David. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's David, who is a descendant of Rahab and a keeper of sheep, somebody who would not be considered very important, but he becomes king. Then there's Daniel. He's a captive Jew who is taken from his homeland and taken to Babylon, and he's one who says, I'm not going to lower myself to the standards of the Babylonians, and says, feed me veggies and water, and we'll stand up. And Daniel's the one who is used by God basically to show the Babylonians who God is. And I was just reading this morning about Daniel and how he said to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, man, Nebuchadnezzar, you're so full of pride that you're going to have a time where you're just going mad. And, you know, it's David stood up. He could have lost his head by saying that, but he was just telling the king what his dream meant. You know, and so Daniel's one who's used. And then there's Esther, another captive Jew who becomes queen in the Persian Empire and saves the people from the evil of someone who wants to wipe out all the Jews. And so we have all these people in the history of the Bible, and many more. And we come down to Mary. Now, Mary is a nondescript girl, probably about 15 years old. 13 to 17 was not uncommon for them to be betrothed in marriage. And so she's maybe around 15 years old, and she's a nondescript girl. She's living in a nondescript town. And Mary's marriage was probably one that was arranged, because most marriages that day were arranged. It wasn't that Joseph and Mary were not in love. It's just that people arranged the marriage, and they worked out a deal to pay a dowry to Mary's parents and for Mary to become his wife. And so Mary's in this town of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a town that sat on top of a mountain plateau, and you had to want to go there to get there. I've been to Nazareth. If you were going in Jesus' day, it's a steep climb, and Nazareth is about 2,000 feet above the Sea of Galilee, and if you were going there, it's about a 20-mile hike, and so you rise 2,000 feet in this 20 miles, and then the last probably 3 or 4 miles are extremely steep as you're going up. And it was a small town. Probably in Mary's time, it was about 400 people. And so it was like going to Canute. or some of the other small towns in western Oklahoma. Canute's a place that I like to go to, but Nazareth was a place that you just didn't go to. It was a place that you had to have a real purpose to go there. And no one went to Nazareth just to go. And so it's into this setting that the angel appears to Mary and says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, it's no wonder that Mary's troubled by the greeting. All of a sudden, you're sitting here minding your business or whatever she was doing, and this person appears and goes, in our language, "Hi." "You're really favored. You're really an important person." I think Mary's probably going, "Me? I'm not sure you got the right person." And so Mary's troubled by that greeting. And what's even worse is that this heavenly being shows up and he doesn't introduce himself. Like, who in the world is this person? I'm not sure about you, but if I was Mary and I was inside of a building and all of this happened, I'd probably be headed to the nearest exit.
Right.
But Mary was calm by the words that the angel said to her when he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. And as you know, Mary agreed to what the angel says. And I think what this part of the story tells us is that we need to be careful that we do not buy into the lie that God can't use me. Mm-hmm. Because we oftentimes buy into that lie and we go, "My background won't allow God to use me. I don't have the education for God to use me. I don't have the certain abilities that I think I need for God to use me." But Mary serves as an example that God most often uses common people to accomplish uncommon things. And faithful people doing God's work faithfully can oftentimes accomplish more than those who are a well-known personality. Now, I'm not saying anything against well-known personalities. I mean, we know that God uses well-known personalities in great ways. I mean, Billy Graham and D.L. Moody, and you can go back through history and you can find all of these people. God has a purpose and a place for them. However, it's the people who are in the trenches of everyday life that can influence the same people that are in the trenches with them. Because you are with them each and every day. Mm-hmm. You're not with them if you're an evangelist every day. But those who are in the trenches are with them each and every day. And we need to remember this, that wars are not won by generals. We like to credit the generals with the winning of the wars. They have the mastermind. They do the planning. But the wars are not won by the generals. The wars are run by people who are in the trenches, who are doing the actual fighting. And so it's important that we remember that, and that God is using every one of us wherever we're at. And here's something you can take home with you. Our goal is not to be well-known by others, but our goal should be to be well-known by God. No one outside of Nazareth probably had a clue of who Mary was. God, however, knew who she was and chose her to be the mother of Jesus. And God is choosing you to do his work in a place wherever you find yourself at. So don't worry about being well known by others. Be well known by God. You also have to be available to be used by God. Mary was available to be used by God. She didn't understand how all this was supposed to work. How is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And so the angel answers the question. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will become pregnant. The power of the Most High will be there. The one who is born to you will be the Holy One, the Son of God. If you need a little more proof, Elizabeth, your relative down the road here a few miles, she's pregnant. She's old and wasn't supposed to be able to have kids. And she's now 6 months along. And so he gives her multiple points to believe. One, you're chosen. Two, God's going to do it. Three, God's already done it for Elizabeth. So don't worry about it. He concludes, for no word from God will ever fail. And so as the angel points Mary to the impossible already happening, she can believe that it's possible. And we need to understand for us that availability is more important than ability. When Isaiah saw the Lord in the temple and God asking, you know, who's going to go for us? Isaiah responded, here am I, Lord, send me. And it was that passage of scripture, one of the passages of scripture that the Lord used to call me into ministry. Who's going to go? Who's available? Who's out there? Are you available? I'm a small town boy from a town of about 800 when I was growing up. You know, I'm the Nazareth of growing up. Well, maybe not, because I grew up in Hatch, New Mexico. We're known for chili, chili capital of the world. But, I mean, really, if it wasn't for chili, nobody would probably ever know where Hatch is, you know. The joke was, what were you, hatched from an egg, you know? yet God calls and uses people no matter where I'm at. Isaiah was called. He says, I'll do it. Here am I, Lord, send me. And he paid a high price for it. He was one who was ridiculed, and the Lord told him to name two of his sons prophetic names, which were not very good names. Can you imagine naming your son a weird name and those sons having to grow up with it? But yet Isaiah was faithful to speak God's word. And here's what we need to learn. You must accept the assignment. God will do the preparation. People often ask, why doesn't God use me more? And the truth is, God wants to use you more. The problem is, you won't allow him to use you more, or you want to dictate how he is going to use you, because you have this idea of what you think God is wanting to you to do. And so we need to be spending time trying to figure out what God wants us to do rather than going out and doing what maybe God doesn't want to do us to do. So how do you find that out? Well, you begin to look to God for assignments that he has for you. Instead of looking for assignments you think God has, you say, God, I just want to do what you want to do. You spend time in prayer. And when you see someone in need, you begin to look at them and you say, I'm willing to help them, instead of, you know what, it's their fault that they're in this need. They made some bad choices. Well, probably, yes, they did. But you begin to look at ways that you can minister to them rather than criticizing them. Mm-hmm. When someone is hurting, you come alongside of them and you help them in their hurt. Rather than saying, well, it's your fault. You volunteer to serve people who need help. That's one of the reasons why I like doing Christmas baskets. I got involved in it the year after we came here, and it's like I know I'm helping people. I know what we're doing is helping people, and this ministry of the Alliance, Ministerial Alliance, is making a difference for people at Christmas time. And so we need to always be looking for ways to minister and always be looking at needs that people have. And one of the things we need to remember in this is God may be using you just to identify some of the needs. He may not be telling you to actually do it, but he wants you to identify the needs, and then you know people who can actually go and help and fix those, or help to meet those needs. And so we need to do that, because you can become overburdened, overwhelmed if you try to fix every need yourself. In fact, some needs you know you shouldn't. I like doing handyman work, so, you know, if it comes to handyman stuff, I'm all over it. But if it comes to some other things, particularly paperwork, I do paperwork, but I don't like it. I'm not good at it. I would rather have somebody else do that who can do a very good job at it. So as you see needs, is this something God wants me to do, or is this something that I'm going to pass on to somebody else and have them the opportunity, give them the opportunity to be able to meet that need as well? But I think the point here is that we need to make sure that we are making a difference where we're at. And I go back to that quote from Oswald Chambers, and I've said it many times on here before, but never think that you can't be of service to God where you're at, because you certainly cannot be of God a service to God where you're not. And so wherever you're at, find a way to be of service to God. Be available to God, and allow him to work in and through your life. Well, there's a couple of things so far. Do we have some prayer requests coming up this morning? I'm sure we have one or two. I see Monica's over there with her list, and it looks to be
front and back.
So.
Yes. We do have some prayer requests for this morning, Pastor Joe. The first one is a praise report. Woot, woot. I love praise reports, y'all. Let's get my pretty friend in there. Look at that. Look at her. That's my friend, y'all. Isn't she pretty? I'm so glad you're here, Tina. You're doing amazing.
Thank you.
We are so blessed to have you with us. I love you, sister. Praise report for Chris Carnahan. He got the results of his scans. The chemo is working. Tumor has shrunk, and the lesions on his liver are also smaller. He will meet with doctors to discuss 3 more rounds. Thank you, Lord, for allowing that to do what it was created to do, what they made it to do. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. And prayers for the family of Gary Zims, who went to be with the Lord Tuesday. And then continued prayers for the family of Dale Roark. His services will be Saturday at 10 at the First Methodist Cheyenne. Ruth Ramsey is fighting as well as asthma. Pray for friends traveling to Nebraska for the judge ruling over their custody case. Pray for favor that the kids will be able to come home to Oklahoma. And then prayers for David Wright, who is in Roger Mills Hospital. He is waiting on a room in Oklahoma City. He has an infection in his hip where he had had surgery. And then if we could, I kind of ran out of room. So, but I'd like to take a minute also and pray for the families who are going through their first without a loved one. And also, please continue to pray for my family, the Morris family, as they prepare to for Kyson's services. He went to be with the Lord. He was almost four. Yeah. And his mom, Carissa, is pregnant. So I can't imagine what my little cousin is going through. And then her mom, the grandmother, to Kyson. So the Morris family, y'all.